Thank you, ladies. That's a great song. I wish it was in our hymn book. The words of that are very, very good. Romans chapter 8, and that's where we're going to be this morning. Going to be in three verses, 26, 27, and 8. And we'll talk a little bit about the setting, the context of the three verses, and then we will basically center our attention on that well-known, familiar verse, verse number 28. So find Romans 8 today, and let's go to 26, 27, and 28, and we'll read that for our scripture reading, and after the song, get into the message today. Thank you for being here on this holiday weekend. Let's stand together. You got a Bible with you? And if not, just listen carefully. We're going to read now, and if you would please join me on verse 27, then I'll read the even-numbered verses for us. And our Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Father, thank you for all the Bible, but there are some verses that are extremely precious to us. I think of John 3:16. I think of Psalm 23. I think of John chapter 14, Lord. I think about this verse, Romans 8:28. And God, I pray that you'll help me this morning. We started the whole service singing that song, stand up for Jesus. The armor of flesh will fail you. Stand in His strength alone. Lord, I trust I'll do that today, only in you and only for you. So will you help us now? Will you help us as we hear the song? May our hearts be prepared for the message to follow. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Somebody's knocking at your door.
Yes, Lord.
Somebody's knocking at your door.
Yes, Lord. Oh, sinner, why don't you answer? Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's at your door. Oh, sinner, why don't you answer? Somebody's knocking at your door.
Answer, Jesus.
Somebody's knocking at your door.
Answer, Jesus.
Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door. Oh, sinner, why don't you answer? Somebody's knocking at your door. Oh, somebody's knocking at your door.
Song this morning. Thank you, young people, for that good song. I like it when God knocks at the door of my heart, don't you? Doesn't stop with salvation. It shouldn't stop with salvation. It should continue on and on and on. That was a good song today. All right. Verse number 28 of chapter 8. Well-known verse. I have Dr. Lee Robertson's signature in a Bible or two tucked away somewhere in my office back there. I think under one of the cabinets, and under the bookshelf. And in it, he has his name signed with this verse, Romans 8:28. It was the verse that he used when he signed his name on a Bible. And we know that all things work together for good to them who that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And I want to speak on this subject this morning. It doesn't have to be fun to be good. It doesn't have to be fun to be good. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll please I pray that your Spirit will knock on our heart's door this morning, not just for the matter of salvation, but maybe for the matter of sanctification, maybe for an attitude adjustment, maybe, God, for just encouragement. For whatever reason, I pray that the Spirit of God may knock on our heart's door this morning and that we would answer. Would you please speak to us? Be not silent to us, O God, David prayed, lest we be like them that go down to the pit. And truly, dear Father, if we go too long without hearing your voice, we will go down to the pit. So help us this morning to be listening. May we be receptive. May the Holy Ghost have His way. May the liberty that only He brings be our portion. And may we stand in His strength this morning. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen. I've mentioned before that there are some chapters in our Bible that are the key passages or the key chapters for certain doctrines. Romans 8 is a key passage, maybe the key passage, concerning the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. In particular, Romans 8 gives us many truths about the Spirit of God and His work in our lives as the children of God. If we could talk about one specific area of the Holy Spirit's ministry that Romans 8 talks about, that would be it. The work of the Spirit of God in our lives as the children of God. There's so much in this chapter, beginning with verse number 1, where the Bible talks about no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit. And then verse number 2, you got that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that have made me free from the law of sin and death. We've talked about the illustration of the law of gravity being like the law of sin and death. And that law of sin and death that's in our body pulls us down away from God. The reason this knife stays in the air this morning rather than dropping to the ground is because there's life in this arm. This arm has life enough, power enough, to at least right now be able to overcome the law of gravity. And friend, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can keep you and I from being pulled downward and away from God. There's so much in this chapter that's rich. I mean rich, rich, rich. But this morning, we come to verse number 26. The Bible says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. I believe it was Brother Caleb on Friday night brought a devotion from this verse during our all-night prayer fellowship. And he talked about the fact that that word infirmity means our limitations, our weaknesses. He makes up the difference. The Bible says the Spirit of God helps us pray. Pray through our infirmities. Pray with our infirmities. He makes up the difference for us as people, okay? He prays for us when we are so overwhelmed that we cannot verbalize our prayers. I would imagine that most folks have been there. Maybe you haven't been, but you will be there. You will be at your prayer time when you'll be so overwhelmed with grief or sorrow or so heavy from some burden, you'll find it impossible to verbalize what's inside. Maybe just, oh God. Oh God. It's not vain repetition. It's all you can come up with because your heart's so heavy. You say, that would be wasted time. No, it's not wasted time because the Spirit of God interprets those groanings for us, which we cannot utter. He helps us when we pray. Now, he also uses the word intercession in verse number 26. He's our intercessor. Now look, Jesus intercedes for us and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, but they intercede in different ways. Jesus intercedes for us as our advocate and our high priest. We've illustrated that. Won't take the time to do that this morning. But we've illustrated it in Sunday morning messages. Jesus sits at the right hand of the throne of God, and He pleads our case before the Father. And when the accuser of the brethren, that being Satan, when Satan attempts to bring condemnation on us because of our sin, when Satan attempts to bring God's judgment on us because of our sin, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus' hands and His feet and His thorn-marked brow are all reminders that our sin has already been judged on His cross almost 2,000 years ago. And God, because this person is found in me, you cannot condemn. This child is not condemned and cannot be judged or condemned. And so that's how Jesus intercedes for us. And I'm glad that He does. I'm so glad that He does. Because I'm afraid I give a lot of ammunition. I'm afraid I put a lot of bullets in the old accuser's weapons. Do you? I do. You don't give your enemy bullets. But I'm afraid I give him a lot of bullets. I'm afraid he goes before God the Father, says, "You see, Terry? You hear, Terry? What are you going to..." He needs to be condemned for that. I'm glad that there are nail-pierced hands. Amen. Let's say, "Father, he's already been condemned for that. That's already been paid for." All right, that's how Jesus intercedes. Now, the Spirit, the Bible says, the Spirit makes intercession for us as well. And one of the ways the Spirit makes intercession for us is He is the go-between. He is the mediator between us and God in our prayer life. In our prayer life. He leads us in what to pray about. He directs us to pray according to the will of God. He tries to take our prayers and line them up with the will of God. Sometimes, the Bible says that sometimes you and I don't know even how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit of God, if we'll get in the Spirit, and I don't mean some Pentecostal wild tongue babbling. I mean praying in the Spirit where the Spirit of God directs our prayer. I like this car wash up here on 45. I like it because it's quick. Have you been to it? Up here on this car wash on 45 up here, and you pull in and you pay for the car wash there with cash or with your debit card, and they have a $3 wash. It's a simple wash. They have a $6 wash, and you get right in line. It's one of those car washes. Have you been to it over here? Anybody been to that car wash? Me and Brian, a couple of others. Okay. It's one of those car washes where you've got the track. You know, the track where you have to direct your tire? And the attendant, he's inside the building. And he's not where the water's gushing out, okay? But he's there. He's inside the building. And as you pull up to that, he is guiding your car. And if you're too far to the left, he'll say go to your right. This is my right. Your right. Go to your right. If you're too far to the right, he'll say go to your left. And so he'll direct you as you try to line your tire up with those rails, so that, you know, they get those little chocks that come along, you know, and they pull you through. You take your hands off the steering wheel, take your foot off the brake, put the car in neutral. I mean, folks, it is fast. It does a great job. About $6, you can get your car washed. So it's a blessing. I enjoy that car wash. Now, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit when we pray. The Holy Spirit is the attendant standing when you and I, between us and God, and He's saying, "Go this direction with your prayer. Go this direction with your prayer. Come this way with your prayer. Don't pray that. No, no, no. Don't even mention that. That's not even..." But go this way. Amend this. He's the attendant that directs our prayers into the will of God. Helps us to pray according to the will of God. Well, we had the prayer meeting on Friday night. We were supposed to go till 5:30. About 6 minutes till 5, 3 minutes till 5. We have seven sessions. And about 6 minutes to 5, the sixth session came to a close. We were going to take a five-minute break, pray for 30 more minutes, and be done at 5:30. But I could tell at the end of that sixth session, we were done. I mean, we were all sitting there. In that sixth session, we prayed for all the teenagers of the church by name. We prayed for all the college students, not college students, college-age young people by name. We prayed for the bus teenagers by name, every one of them. 40 to 45 seconds of prayer by however many men were here. I didn't count as we ended up the prayer meeting, praying specifically for each individual teenager and the college-age person and so forth and so on. So when we ended that prayer session up, I could tell we were done. Everybody was just kind of looking at each other like, "It's time to go home." Amen. So we were up walking around at this point, you know. So I said, "Anybody got a word of testimony tonight?" And then I'll lead us in thanking the Lord for meeting with us. We'll go home. And one of the brothers, he said, "Yes, sir." And his voice was choked with emotion. He said, "Yes." He said, I have a testimony." And he said, "About a little week ago, I asked my family to start praying for one of our children." And he named the person, the name of the child. He said, "I asked our family to start praying for one of the children. The children wasn't in bad. The children wasn't wild, living in a good place in a Bible college. But he said, you know, I can sense that just that something not right, just something not right." And so over a week ago, he said, pray for this child. And so the family started praying for the child. That child's name was on a piece of paper, our little prayer book. We put a booklet together for our prayer time on Friday night to help us. And in session number 3 all the fellows that were here, pray for that child's name, my name, in that prayer session. That was about 12:45, 1 o'clock. At 3:26 a.m., the man who was in the prayer meeting giving this testimony said, I got a text at 3:26, about an hour and a half ago, from that child. Said, Dad, I was in a preaching service tonight, lasted for about an hour and 15 minutes. And then the invitation lasted for well over an hour. And revival came to our hearts, and I got right with God. Just wanted you to know. And so, before we left here Saturday morning, God, and by the way, the brother who asked that, who gave that testimony, had no idea that that child was going to be in a preaching meeting. Had no idea. But friend, all you say, who does all that kind of stuff? The Spirit of God does all that kind of stuff. He lines it all up. He's that attendant. Take your prayer this way. Take your prayer that way. That's why it's so important. We try to get in the Spirit while we pray. God, lead, Spirit of God, direct my prayer. Help me. And so that's what the Holy Spirit does for you and me. So many things He does for us in our prayer life. Now, you come to verse number 28. And the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Great verse. Now, I want you to see that that verse begins with the word and. That's a conjunction. So it's tied into what the chapter's been talking about in the previous verses. And so He's talking about all these things, these burdens that you're so heavy about, these things that are so heavy on your heart that bring you tears. They don't bring you words, they bring you tears and they bring you groanings. And you can't verbalize it. All these things. I want you to know that through the Spirit of God and through the great work of our God, God uses all things to work together for good. Now, I'm sure this verse at times is not always claimed according to its context, but friend, it's still powerful in its application as well. All things work together for good. So I'm talking to you this morning. It does not have to be fun to be good. Everybody loves to have fun. Right? No, not me. I don't like fun. I don't think you'd say that. Some people look like they don't like to have fun. But I think everybody loves to have fun. Now, there are some people who they love to have fun so much that they judge how good or bad something is by how much fun they have. Sometimes you ask a kid who's been somewhere, an activity or something, hey, how was the activity? It was great. We had so much Or, oh, it was okay. Well, you know, it was all right. We didn't have that much fun. Well, you know, if the purpose of the activity was solely for fun, then it could be judged by that standard. But fun is not always the purpose of every activity. And folks, listen, fun is not always the purpose of circumstances and events and happenings that God brings into our life. But that doesn't mean that it's not good for us. Doesn't have to be fun in order to be good. You know, for some people, the more fun we have, the better the experience. The less fun we have, the worse the experience. You know, the word fun is not found in the Bible at all. Now, don't stop using it. The word piano is not found in the Bible. Now, there's anything wrong with using the word piano or the word microphone, okay? The word fun is not found in the Bible. But the truth of the matter is, there's nothing wrong with fun, but something can still be good even if it's not fun. And we have to be careful that we don't dislike events and circumstances and happenings in our life that are not fun. We have to be careful that we don't become bitter because of some things in our life that are not fun. I was talking to a church member just before the service this morning, before Sunday school this morning. And that church member was just explaining how things are a little bit different in their life right now because of a certain circumstance that God has brought into the person's life. And you know what I detected in that voice? I detected not a shred of bitterness, not a shred of anger, not a shred of disappointment over it. It was acceptance. Because, folks, it doesn't have to be fun to be good. It doesn't have to be fun to be good. Then we fall into the mindset that the only fun things are good. Where did we get that idea? That's not what God said. You know, going to the dentist is not fun. Anybody who likes going to the dentist needs to be put in a room with a white coat and a rubber helmet. Now, if God ever gives us a dentist, I'll have to stop talking like that from the pulpit. Amen. Brother Matt, you haven't heard me say anything bad about lawyers and attorneys. Jason did. Jason told a joke. And the attorneys were the punchline in the joke. Man. That's not very good job security. Amen. And I had to go to the dentist this week. Thankfully, only for a cleaning. When you open the door, the smell, you're in a bad place. Right? I'd rather be somewhere with smelling cigarette smoke than smelling this. I'm not kidding. And if somebody's smoking a pipe, I'll go to where they are so I can smell that. Boy, I tell you. I may not be able to smoke it, but boy, I like to smell it. Man, that smells. Oh. And then the sound, inevitably, before you take your seat in the waiting room, there's the sound of the drill that you can't copy it. It's just. But even though it's not fun, it's good for the well-being of your teeth. If you like to eat, dentist is a good place, okay? War is not fun. Gerald, I'm glad you came back from Iraq. And Scott Stone's nephew is now in Afghanistan. And Travis DeVries is over in Egypt. He's not where war is. War is not fun. War is heartache. War is sorrow. War is death. But war is good if there's somebody like a Hitler or a Saddam Hussein who is oppressing people and killing ethnic groups of people for no reason other than they're just Kurds or Jews. So then war is good. It's never fun. But war is good. Just because it's not fun doesn't mean it can't be good. Don't develop that mentality that says, if this is not fun, this is not good. Folks, if we adopt that measurement, we're going to have a very unhappy life because there is no way all of our life is going to be fun. But I'm glad that all of our life can be good, even though it may not be fun. Now, I'm going to give you three things this morning, the outline. I got the instant message with Ben this morning by way of Skype, and they had 9 visitors at their Bible study this morning. He was flying excited about that, and I told him I gave him the outline, and the outline is just, here's the outline, son. It's so difficult, and really? You know, like, it's so simple you won't believe it. But before I give you the outline, I need to mention here one very important thing. There are a couple of stipulations in verse 28. You see that? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So how do I know if I love God? Are you living for God? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So I'm striving to live by the Word of God. I'm not going to hit on 8 cylinders all the time. But at least I'm striving to live by the commandments of the Word of God. Because in doing so, I prove my love for Jesus Christ. So to them that love God, do we love God? And then it says to them who are the called according to His purpose. You say, Brother Angel, who do you think that is? I think those are the people who are saved. That's me and you. We are called for the purpose of predestination after we're saved to be conformed to the image of God. And there are things, watch it, some of the things that God brings into my life and your life that are not fun are good to help us to be conformed to the image of Christ. So really got to measure this thing by, the measurement is not, is this fun? The measurement is this thing, can it be used to help conform me to the image of Jesus Christ? Okay? Here's your outline. It's very simple. Number one, the Bible says all things. All things. Things. You know, some do not like the use of the word things. I teach the homiletics class. at the school, and some of the boys were telling me in homiletics class a couple years ago that one of the other faculty members up there had discouraged them from using the word things and kind of come down hard on them, saying things is too broad a term. You need to be more specific in your language than the word things. It's too broad. Boys, don't use it. And I thought to myself, I thought, man, God uses the word things a lot. And here He used the word things, all things. Now, all things would include fun things, right? And all things would also include not so fun things. It's fun to go to ice cream. It's not so fun to go for a cancer treatment. It's fun to go to a ball game. It's not so fun to get laid off. It's fun to take a vacation. It's not fun to have surgery. It's fun to get a raise. It's not fun to have an accident. It's fun having a baby. There's no fun in burying a child. It's fun to get married. Not a whole lot of fun, though, if you have to take care of an invalid, sick wife someday or husband. It's fun to get a better or a new car. It's not so fun when the transmission on the old car goes out. It's fun to get a letter from a friend. It's not so fun to get a letter subpoena to court. But God says all things. All things. You know what would be interesting to do, folks? It would be interesting sometime to think about it, take a pencil or a pen and a piece of paper and just divide it down the middle and put fun on the left side and not so fun on the right side and just categorize all the events and all the happenings and all the circumstances in my life that are fun and not fun. And over here, I start putting down the things that are fun, the events, the things that come into my life that are fun, and I start listing them. And then on this side, I put on this side of the paper the things that are not. I wonder how that would balance out. Take however old you are this morning. For me, it's 53. For some, it's 18. For some, it's 26. For some, it's 78. And divide it all up into the things in life, the events, the circumstances, the happenings that can be categorized as fun and those that can be categorized as not fun. Wonder what percentage of life would fall in the fun category and what percentage of life would fall in the not fun category. Would it be 50-50? I don't know. Maybe it would be 60% fun and 40% not fun. Maybe for some people it would be 40% fun and 60% not fun. The percentage doesn't matter. Here's what I want you to see this morning. God said all things. Now watch me. If after 53 years, I can take 50% of the things in my life were fun and 50% of the things in my life were no fun, if God could only use the fun things, that means He would not have been involved in 50% of my life. Do I want that? You want that? Let's say it's heavy. Let's say it's 70% fun and 30% not fun. It doesn't say, and we know that all things work together, fun things work together for good. If my life was 70% fun and 30% no fun, that would still mean that God would not be involved in one-third of my life. I don't want that. I need God in every area. I need God in 100% of my life. And amen, glory to God, hallelujah. It doesn't matter what percentage of your life falls in the fun or not fun category. Our God is big enough to be involved in all of it. All of it. And that's what Paul said. He said all things. Let's believe that. Let's believe that we've got a God big enough to use all things. Now, the second thing he said in the same verse here, it outlines itself, work together. Work together. When I think of the terms work together, the buildings that we have been privileged to build here at Faith Baptist Church over these last several years, those things come to my mind. When I think of work together, I think of the excavators. I think of the iron workers. I think of the concrete workers. I think of the plumbers and the electricians and the framers and the heating and cooling men and the masons and the roofers and the drywallers and the painters and the floor covering men and the finished carpenters and the landscapers and those that work on the glazing, the storefronts and the windows. I think about all those different trades who worked together to give us what we enjoy today. Now, friend, listen very carefully. They didn't all work at the same time. And they didn't all work the same amount of time. Some guys came in, the iron workers came in at the beginning of the job. They did their part. They were done. They went their way. The framers were here for days. The drywallers were here for days. They didn't all work the same. They didn't work at the same time. They didn't all work the same amount of time. And they didn't all do the same thing. But they all worked together on the same thing. And that's what Paul said. God takes the fun things and He takes the not so fun things and He makes them co-laborers. He's a general contractor. General contractor doesn't swing a hammer more often. He doesn't swing a hammer. He doesn't run a saw. He doesn't do the physical work, but the general contractor takes the electricians and the plumbers and the mechanical men and the floor covering guys and the drywallers and the painters and the framers and the roofers and the concrete workers and the iron workers. And the general contractor makes sure that they all work together to put a building up. And that's what our God does. If this building was built by electricians alone, we'd have great light and great power, but could we flush the toilets? If drywallers alone worked on this building, we'd have some great walls and maybe even some good ceilings. But have you ever walked on drywall? I think that would work. If the heating and cooling men had worked on this place alone, we'd have been very comfortable as far as temperature goes. But have you ever tried to look through a ductwork for a window? You say, that's facetious, and really that's elementary and ignorant, is it? Do you understand, friend? All things work together. Our great general contractor, our great God, the great builder, looks at my life, looks at your life, and He brings all these things into our life. And He takes the electricians and He takes the plumbers and the drywallers and the roofers and the glazers and the iron workers and the concrete men and the painters. And He puts it all in Terry Angel's life. And He says, now Terry, all of this is going to work together to make you the man I want you to be. And He does the same thing in your life. That's a blessing, isn't it? General contractor is a very important person on the job. Maybe the most important person on the job. Brother Dennis does a lot of it, his field, his work. I'll tell you something. I don't mean to be irreverent or demean God and His position, His place, but He is a fantastic general contractor. He knows how to make it all work together. Amen? All things work together. Can you guess the third point? If you're not asleep, for good. For good. For good. That's why there are certain places I look in the auditorium, certain places I don't look in the auditorium. I have to keep myself encouraged in the course of a message. You know, if I've lost you, I haven't lost somebody else. I can keep them, all right? Keep their attention. Some are just so bored, I never look their direction. I think, oh, my gracious, man. Whoa, boy. The outcome of all things, fun and not so fun, working together is for my good. All right, let's do a little examination of our brother in the Bible, the book of Genesis, by the name of Joseph. loved by his dad, right? Let's use the word fun and not fun just for the sake of the consistency of the message. Loved by his father, I'd say fun, right? Hated by his brothers, not fun. Brothers plotted to kill him. Brothers sold him to a traveling band of, what were they, Ishmaelites? Not fun. Sold to slavery down in Egypt? Fun or not fun? Not fun. Taken home to Potiphar and found great favor in Potiphar's eyes. Fun. Placed over all Potiphar had. Until Potiphar's wife lied about him. And Potiphar believed her. That's what? Not fun. Thrown in prison with the king's prisoners. Death row. Not fun. Interpreted the butler in the baker's dream. God's answered his prayer. God's with him, even in prison. Fun. Right? Butler forgets him. Not fun. For 2 years. Not 2 days. Not 2 weeks, not 2 months, 2 years. That means 2 years from now, on September the 5th, 2012, Joseph is still in prison. Because a guy forgot him. And then the king, the Pharaoh, pulls him out of prison. He interprets the king's dream. Fun? And then his brothers show up. He spares the nation of Israel from starvation to preserve the line of Jesus Christ so Christ can someday come and go to the cross. Is that what we call fun? Yeah. So our great big God took all things fun and not fun in Joseph's life. And this worked for this amount of time, and this worked for this amount of time. He put this one in at this time and brought this one in at this time. And when it was all said and done, it was good. It was good. It takes all things working together for good. Here we go. How about 3 or 4 great big old tablespoons of gold medal all-purpose flour? Fun or not fun? Any takers? Okay. How about a cup, a measuring cup full of good old name brand now. This is name brand. This is not Aldi stuff, buddy. This is Crisco. How about a cup full of good old Crisco? Fun or not fun? Not fun. There's got to be something in here. Okay, here we go. Aha. The daughter bought 2%. I would have bought whole milk. With the red top. Blue top is okay. Light blue top, avoid. Box, don't handle that, buddy. But for the sake of the illustration, fun? That's fun. Especially with hot pizza and cold milk. That's fun. Clabber Girl Double Acting Baking Powder. Anybody for a good old spoonful of that? Fun or not fun? Not fun. How about a big old tablespoon of salt? It's Morton. All right. Now, I forgot my bowl, babe. That's the one thing I forgot. But when all of these things are worked together, aha. Fun? Yeah, lots of fun. Butter? Honey? Butter, not margarine, butter. Man, look at this, folks. This is Burger King, Shell, and Kroger. on Sunday morning, Father, forgive me, I spent money on Sunday. When all that's mixed together and that comes out of that oven, friend, that's fun. Let's see. Good. Not so good. Let's take this. Not fun. Not fun. Not fun. Not fun. Fun. If God's only involved in this part of my life, He's only involved in 20% of my life. I got a God that says, I can take all of this, man. I can take it all. I can put it all together. Do all this together, and I can make this right. I feel sorry for some of you folks. A couple, three of you folks are so ticked off at me right now. You can't even, because of something, you can't get a blessing out of anything come from this pulpit. I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. Oh, you're not ticked off at this message. You're ticked off about other stuff. But you're so ticked off, you can't get a blessing if God tried to ram it down your throat. I feel sorry for you. Because look at me. I ain't big enough. I should never be big enough to stand in the way of a blessing from God. I feel so sorry. I make a little joke. Some people haven't laughed in 6 weeks on purpose. They can't laugh because I'm the one being funny, trying to be. That's sad, isn't it? My heart goes out. I want to help everybody in this room so much this morning. I want to help you so much, Fred. That's what that book right there is teaching. We use fun and good interchangeably, and they're not the same. They're not the same, are they? Nowadays, we've raised a generation of young people. If it's not fun, it's not good. But that simply is not true. It doesn't have to be fun in order to be good. A couple years ago, Evangelist Brian Sharp, our good friend, got real sick. That's not fun. He goes to the doctor. That's not fun. He has tests. That's not fun. Many tests. That's not fun. He's a pincushion. That's not fun. In all of that, they found a hidden, life-threatening problem, and they got it fixed. So while treating the not-fun problem that was not life-threatening, they found the life-threatening problem and they took care of it. And that's good. And since that, he's preached in this pulpit. Has been to Israel several times and is feeling good today. Let's see here. Let's wrap it up. Jesus Christ. Arrested at night. Falsely accused, not fun. Slapped and smacked around, not fun. Beard plucked from his face, not fun. Hit in the face with a bag over his head, mocked and ridiculed, beaten with a cat of nine tails until he didn't even look like a man. Crowned with thorns, nailed to a cross, vinegar to drink, judged as a sinner, suffered our hell, and died from a loss of blood. I don't see anything fun there. But all of that worked together. So that I could go to heaven. And that's fun. Whew. Doesn't have to be fun to be good. Maybe there's something in your life right now that's not fun. But you trust God. Hang on. Because He's great enough, big enough, He can work it all together for good. To them that love God, they're the call. Let's pray together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening today. Our dear Heavenly Father, would you please help our hearts this morning? Would you please, please speak to us? As the young people sang, would you please knock on the door of our heart today? And if you are, I pray that we'll hear and I pray that we'll answer. God, I'll thank you for it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Nobody's looking or walking around, please. Everybody's looking this way or just bowed, head bowed, eyes closed. One who would say, Pastor, thanks for the message this morning. Something in it reminded me about how great our God is. He can make all things work together for good. I do love Him, and I'm trying to live for Him. And maybe there's some not-so-fun things, but I'm glad to be reminded this morning that He's big enough to work it for good. God spoke to my heart this morning at some point in the message. Would you raise a hand, please, this morning all over the room? God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. Yeah. Let's ask this. Who's here this morning would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind. I am saved. I know it. Would you raise your hand, please, if that's your testimony? And only if that's your testimony, if you've been saved and you know it. You lift your hand. Thank you. Take your hands down. Any here this morning would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Anybody like that here today? Not sure that you're saved. Front to back, side to side. Not sure that we're saved. Not sure that I'm saved, Pastor Angel. Maybe you're here this morning, you've been saved and not baptized in deep water since you've been saved. Anybody like that? Pastor, I'm saved, but I've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Pray for me. Somebody like that today? Anybody to be baptized? God bless you. This is if you came this morning to learn more about baptism or you need to learn more about baptism, maybe you came to get baptized, you can come right now while we wait, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Or you can wait till the music begins, make your way down. We'll talk to you about baptism. God bless you. That's wonderful. You do as the Lord leads you, and I hope that you'll come. Let's let the Spirit of God work in our hearts this morning. Let's give Him a few minutes. It's only 12:06. If God was gracious enough to come by your pew today and visit with you, remind you of how great He is. And why don't you take a moment and talk to Him about it. Tell Him that even though it's not fun, you know it can be for your good. He's that kind of general contractor. He's that kind of God. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, invitation time. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Let us talk to you about baptism. Would you come? While we wait, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Step out. Just make your way out to the side there. That's right. God bless you.